every day, smiling the day away in your little bubble. See, in your world, there are no consequences. You can do or say whatever you want. No consequences. That's not the real world. That's not the world we live in. That's what we call the John Cena problem.
He's the problem. He's been the problem for the past decade. We, the Shield, are the solution.
You see, John, whether it was your intention or not, the standard you set paved the way for the Sheamuses and the Rybacks of the world. You laid the groundwork, John, for an entire generation to believe in the system, to believe in you, John. This Sunday, we have an opportunity to rectify a decade of injustice in one fell swoop.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
It's Thursday, February 14th, 2013. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. This is Smack Talk Radio Live. My name is Corey, the Heartthrob Callahan. Sitting next to James, the Heartbreaker McDonald. James, how you doing tonight?
Well, my friend, I'd have to say at this point it's more heartbroken rather than heartbreaker, and I'll let you in on why in just a little bit here, because as always, I'm pumped to be sitting here in the Smack Talk studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, ready to break down all the week's latest news, views, and opinions in the world of professional wrestling right here on the show by the fans for the fans.
Now, James, you have a girlfriend. It's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Were you a good little boy, and did you bring home chocolate and flowers for the lady?
No, I told her that she has to wait downstairs because I have a radio show that I make absolutely no money at to do.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Well, I would like to say happy Valentine's Day to my girlfriend.
Yes, I'll take this opportunity to say hello. No, happy Valentine's Day, babe.
Babe, I choose you.
Oh, okay. That's enough.
All right. Let's get on with it.
Yes.
Now, to find this show, Smack Talk Radio Live, you got to head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Subscribe to us in the iTunes store, or hey, send a friend to @SRLRadio on Twitter. Now, it's a huge week for Smack Talk Radio Live, James, because the big announcement came down the pipe on Twitter earlier this week. We're now on Stitcher Radio.
Yes, that's going to be amazing for our show, and if you guys haven't downloaded this Stitcher app yet, I got to recommend it totally, because I mean, there's just tons of amazing quality on this, content, I should say,
it's
quality
just
as well.
It's just the easiest way for people to listen to our show. I mean, you download the Stitcher app, As soon as our show goes up online, you guys get access to it. You can listen to it streaming. You don't even have to download the 80 megabit file or megabyte file that would be. It's great news for us, and it's only going to bring us more fans to the show. Huge news for Smack Talk Radio
That's
Live
great
this
news
week.
For Smack Talk Radio Live, but bad news for me, my friend, because I will not be joining you at WrestleMania this year.
I can't believe it.
I just,
you've reversed your decision.
I've been crunching and crunching and crunching the numbers over and over again, and unfortunately, I couldn't make it work, unfortunately.
There is one thing different about this year's WrestleMania in New York than the ones previous that we have gone to, and that's, it's like three times more expensive to go.
Even the tickets alone were three times as expensive.
I don't blame you for not coming.
I mean,
we're still going to do the show somehow or another. You know, you'll be here in Vancouver.
Absolutely.
I'll be in New York.
I'll have a big party. You'll be partying down there. It'll be great. But, I mean, let's face it, at the end of the day, this whole show is really a hobby, and it's out of yours and mine pocket, really. So
I know. I don't blame you. But let me say this. WrestleMania 29 will not be the same without James McDonald.
I'm sad. I'm just sad I won't be able to go down and see all the cool people that we met last year and make those contacts and just, you know, reconnect with some of these people. That's what I'm most regretting about not being able to go. You know?
I definitely understand, my friend. Regardless, that's down the road.
Yes.
Tonight, we have a huge show because we are, of course, talking about the Elimination Chamber. We're, of course, talking about Monday Night Raw. It was from Nashville, Tennessee. One place I would love to go, by the way. And we're also breaking new ground tonight here, James.
Yeah, this is
great. Can you believe it?
This is great. I'm very, very... I'm pumped about this, man.
You've advocated this for years. You've wanted this on the show since we started it.
And, yeah.
We're talking TNA tonight.
Finally.
We welcome to the program tonight Christopher Daniels. Should be great.
Oh, it's going to be huge, my friend. Huge.
But let me do what we do each and every week. James, let's get everyone caught up on the business of the business. Let's kick off the post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
Okay, tonight we start the post-to-post report with something a little different, and it's not something we typically would lead with, but it has turned the heads of many, and that would be the decision to drop amateur wrestling from the Olympic Games. Now, why are we leading with amateur wrestling? Well, let's face it, if I have to get into how hand-in-hand amateur and pro wrestling go together, then you probably should just go back to living in that submarine at the bottom of the sea. Pro wrestling is an extension of amateur wrestling, and this decision by the Olympic Committee to drop this event from their summer games is just plain bizarre. Wrestling has been there since the beginning, the first Olympic Games in 1896, and really has been in the world since man could stand on two feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a symbolic test of strength, endurance, and agility against an opponent, and why the Olympics Executive Board would recommend eliminating such history from their games is mind-boggling. But they say it was voted upon, with television ratings and ticket sales playing a factor in the consensus. Most importantly here, though, the decision, it's not final. There is a vote scheduled in September. Now, I had a chance to speak with Chris Wilson today, and Chris Wilson is a local Vancouver product who represented Canada in the 1992 Barcelona Summer Olympics in wrestling. He won two World Cup championships in 93 and 94. He won a gold medal at the 94th Commonwealth Games. I mean, this guy, he is Canadian amateur wrestling. We asked him about the International Olympic Committee's decision to take wrestling out of the 2020 Games, and just how could this happen?
Well, you know, unfortunately, decisions like this, not so much what's right or wrong, it's more sort of how much influence people have. And I think what happened in this case is the International Wrestling Federation fell asleep at the switch, you know? And when there was all this lobbying going on about which sport was going to be knocked out, I just don't think they thought that wrestling was going to be at risk.
Now, like I'd said before, the decision isn't official yet. It's just a recommendation from the IOC, but there will be a vote in September deciding the future. I asked Chris, what are the chances that this actually does get passed through, and could wrestling be gone for good?
Well, the challenge is a lot of these people are so arrogant that they'll never admit that they made a mistake. So it's a pretty big uphill climb. But the one thing wrestling has going for it is that two of the strongest wrestling nations are Russia and the U.S. And they're also fairly strong within the IOC. And also we're fighters, right? I mean, we don't quit. We're used to having to fight for things. So I think what I'm hoping will happen is that as long as people keep putting pressure on, as long as you know, this groundswell of support continues, and people keep signing petitions, people keep liking Facebook pages, and do whatever they can to keep this momentum going. I think what the IOC will do is they'll find a way to save face, hopefully, and you know, figure out a way to let wrestling back in without it making it look like they made a mistake.
Do you believe the rumors that this decision was made based off poor ticket sales and television ratings?
Not at all, because I've been to every Olympics since 1992, and the venues are always sold out. So it's not about ticket sales. It could be a little bit about ratings, just because wrestling maybe not doesn't have as high ratings as beach volleyball, but it's got higher ratings than taekwondo. It's got higher ratings than modern pentathlon. You know, some of these sports that it was in tough with, it does a lot better. So it wasn't, you know, ratings were part of it, ticket sales were part of it, but there was another whole list of criteria that they do look at.
Chris, thanks a lot for coming on the show tonight. Really appreciate your insight.
I appreciate you talking about this. I appreciate your interest. And like I say, as long as people keep signing petitions, liking Facebook pages, there's a great Facebook page called Keep Wrestling in the Olympics. So people can just search for Keep Wrestling in the Olympics on Facebook. They can sign up. There's all kinds of petitions and other information there. And we just hope that people keep this pressure on and get this decision reversed.
Now, because we had no show last week, we have to touch on this. And it's the announcement that Bruno Sammartino, one of the most important names in pro wrestling, is finally being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. An interesting story, actually, as Bruno had basically had zero affiliation with the WWE for years and a very public disdain for many of the decisions that WWE was making throughout their rise to national popularity. Now, Bruno had taken a stance against the rampant steroid abuse of the performers, as well as the vulgarity, the nudity, and overall non-family-friendly environment that was surrounding wrestling, and really, it's quite understandable. It's been reported for years that the WWE had tried to repair their relationship with Bruno, but to no avail. But this year, on WrestleMania weekend, Bruno will emerge once again, entering into a new working relationship with the WWE and accepting his rightful spot in the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, Bruno credits Triple H with the negotiations and ultimately the agreement. And he says it's because the WWE has now convinced them that they've taken the appropriate steps to make wrestling family-friendly again and that they've corrected the drug and alcohol abuse. I mean, no doubt about it, Corey. Bruno's speech at Madison Square Garden should be one for the ages, and I'm very jealous of you. And what happens with Bruno and the WWE from here on out is just downright exciting, man. Now, Hall of Fame, it happens April 6th, the night before WrestleMania 29.
Should be good, for sure. Bruno Sammartino going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, shut up.
What? Just because you're not going now? That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, but let's be realistic here. This is someone that should have gone in the Hall of Fame for quite some time. And really, it brings a sense of credibility to the Hall of Fame. Would
Absolutely.
You agree?
He needed to be in there for years.
An interesting video was posted to YouTube this week, uploaded by Diamond Dallas Page himself. It features DDP and Jake the Snake Roberts giving Scott Hall a phone call. Now, if you haven't seen this yet, it is worth checking out as Scott Hall, who has battled alcoholism for quite some time, is invited to come and stay with DDP and Jake in the Accountability Crib, as they're calling it, which is where DDP is helping transform Jake and others physically and mentally. Scott Hall admits in the phone call that he's dying and told him that he's drinking vodka for breakfast.
Ooh, jeez.
Scott, though, has accepted the invitation to join them.
Well, I really hope he accepts the invitation because, I mean, look at the way that Jake the Snake got cleaned up. And if we can see that happen to Scott Hall,
hey,
I mean, that's
the only
good thing.
I am so pumped to see Jake the Snake Roberts back in the WWE after seeing him in this accountability crib with Diamond Dallas Page. Like,
man.
It's like the ultimate comeback. I want to see that happen. So hopefully the same thing could happen for Scott Hall.
Well, it's official. Take-Two Interactive, video game maker of titles such as NHL and NBA 2K, Red Dead Redemption, and the Grand Theft Auto series, has agreed to take over development and production of the WWE video games from the now-bankrupt THQ. This agreement will save THQ millions, and it was revealed that the WWE is dropping a lawsuit filed against them in which they were suing THQ for $45 million. It's reported that Take-Two will hire THQ video game makers, and they will continue to help design the WWE video games. Not bad.
Yeah. Hey, the same company that makes Grand Theft Auto.
Hey, that makes me behind it 100%.
Yeah, you're a huge fan of that game.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, it should be very interesting. I'm ready for a little refresher with the WWE video game. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Now, in terms of financials this week, the WWE stock price, it closed at $8.62 a share, with news that they will officially announce their 2012 fourth quarter results on February 28th. And in terms of television ratings, WWE Monday Night Raw on February 11th, it scored a 3.16 rating, giving them a dose of reality after a few weeks of strong ratings. Raw averaged 4.26 million viewers, down 11% from the week prior, and it did average a viewership of 4.35 million in the first hour, with 4.24 in the second, and 4.17 million in the third for a consistent decline throughout the show. And it also marks 28 out of 30 weeks during the three-hour era where viewership has declined in the third hour.
Maybe, you know, the show maybe is just too long, you know?
I don't think it matters how good the show is. It's just too long.
Would 2.5 hours help it, maybe?
Yeah, but you can't do that.
You can't do 2.5?
No.
Okay.
But I think really that's what it comes down to. It's hard to keep someone engaged for 3 hours. Pay-per-views are a little different, probably because those people have paid to watch it.
Yeah.
And they're more invested in the product. I mean, but
You're sometimes getting resolutions as well.
But. Regardless, though, this is still a big win for the WWE. I mean, they're getting an extra hour of commercial revenue each and every week, right?
Exactly.
So, the post-to-post report. Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business. There you go, James. Another week.
Well, I may be dejected about missing WrestleMania, but I'm definitely excited about what we got coming up. Corey, are you telling me we're actually going to talk TNA tonight?
I know. It's a first for Smack Talk Radio Live.
Oh.
We have rarely talked TNA on this show, and really, the 100% truth from my end is that I just don't have time in my week to watch even more wrestling than I already do. And that is not a knock against TNA in any sort of way at all. When I turn their show on, I do enjoy what I see. It's just a matter of I watch enough.
Well, it doesn't help that Impact is coming on Thursdays when we're doing our show here as well, right?
That's true. That is correct.
So, I mean,
the wrestling is better in TNA than WWE, without question.
It's a little bit faster, a little bit more technically sound, I would say, but
it's a more indie style feel, and I love that. And let's be honest, I miss the days of WCW, and TNA is a great second replacement. You know,
they're making the right steps become that viable second option.
It fills that void that I had when I was a kid, and that's nothing but a great thing. So I give TNA all the credit for everything they've done up until this point.
I mean, you can't say they're at WCW level yet or anything.
No, but with this recent news that they might be getting into, or with the recent news that they are going on the road, they're getting out of the Impact Zone in Orlando, Florida at Universal Studios, and they're going to be taking their show, Impact Wrestling, into arenas and new venues in different cities around the states. That's huge news.
It's only good things for them, too, because, I mean, you can only get so much out of the crowd in the Impact Zone, I find. And whenever I watch TNA and they're in different venues, it's always, I don't know, it's something different, you know. The wrestlers pick it up a notch, the fans are a little bit more excited, because I mean, let's face it, in the Impact Zone you're getting it, you know, every week or every other week or whatever, but I mean,
but while I also embrace the idea that you have to start out in a place like the Impact Zone, a lot of things I see about,
oh no, I totally agree with you. Like look at Monday Night Raw, right? Starting in like the ECW arena and then moving out from there, right?
And you know what, I read Eric Bischoff's book Controversy Creates Cash years ago, and I just remember him telling a lot of stories about WCW and how they had to be in a permanent facility to start out, and this is a very similar story. What they're doing are taking step by step at a time. I mean, they've also announced that they're going to be changing their pay-per-view structure, and they're going to go to 4 major pay-per-views a year with taped one-night-only pay-per-views, they're calling them, which are kind of like in-your-house pay-per-views, I'm gathering, back in the day with the WWE, right? So this is all interesting new concept.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, and this is just an interesting concept. They're trying something different like they've always done. They used to have the six-sided ring, you remember? I mean, that was innovative. Something different from what the fans were used to.
I didn't really like the six-sided ring. I wasn't really sold on it myself, but...
But it was something different.
It was something innovative. And I mean, yes, you can look at it as TNA is losing revenue on only having 4 pay-per-views a year now as opposed to 12. But the other way you can look at it is now with the money that they're saving on overhead costs, not doing these 8 pay-per-views a year, they can put that money towards bringing the show on the road and bringing it now to more venues and more locales and just getting more exposure and really taking that step to becoming that, you know, that second viable option to the entertainment juggernaut that's the WWE.
And one thing I will always praise TNA for was at the time WWE was wanting to get rid of or get separated from the term wrestling,
TNA was embracing that.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do, yep.
For some reason, Vince McMahon didn't want anyone saying the word wrestling
or wrestler
anymore.
It had to be all sports entertainment.
And that bothered me. But TNA went the opposite route. They said wrestling matters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They named their show Impact Wrestling. It was such a good decision that... And ultimately, I believe the WWE has swayed back to more of that now because of TNA. They noticed that you can't stray away from that. So I will always give TNA credit for that. Let's not waste any more time, though, here, James. There is someone on the line that really knows TNA a hell of a lot better than we do. This guy...
Very excited about this guy. Sorry.
No, he's a great... He's a huge TNA star. He's been around a long time. I used to actually watch him as a kid growing up. He used to come to Vancouver and wrestle for ECCW.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. I don't think he goes by Fallen Angel anymore, but that's how I've always remembered him. Christopher Daniels on the show. Before we bring him on the line, James, just your thoughts quickly on Christopher Daniels.
Well, my first exposure to Christopher Daniels would probably be back in 2004, 2005 when he was working in Ring of Honor, and he was actually embroiled in this really long feud against AJ Styles. And just, I don't know if you ever get the chance, go back and watch some of these mid-2000s matches that he had in Ring of Honor against AJ Styles. Just the speed and the technical grace of these matches was just something that really shocked me, because you didn't really see that a lot of that in the WWE. And
you had made a great comparison of AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels to me earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean... When you're comparing AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, like I was saying to you, I would almost liken them to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. Their careers have been so interlinked and their feuds have been so deeply personal that, yeah, you really can't talk about one without talking about the other. And, I mean, Christopher Daniels, I mean, his accolades speak for himself. The guy's like an 8-time TNA NWA Tag Team Champion, 4-time X Division Champion. He's got accolades in Ring of Honor. He's got accolades in Japan. I mean, this guy really does have the best. He calls it the best moonsault ever. And, well, it really is the best moonsault ever. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's just a thing of beauty. And
it's a first here tonight at Smack Talk exciting. Radio Live. We welcome on the program Christopher Daniels. Christopher, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm thrilled to be a part of it all.
Excellent. I noticed you've been doing a lot of podcast shows lately. Am I noticing that, or is that just a coincidence?
You know, I've got a publicist out here in California that keeps me busy. He reaches out to a lot of different podcasts and interviewers and stuff. So, yeah, he keeps me busy.
Are you one of those guys that really likes to talk about professional wrestling and to talk about the industry or the storylines, or do you prefer to keep your thoughts to yourself typically?
I'll certainly say if it's something that I like. I'm not one that really thinks my opinion on things that I don't like really matter. You know, I'm not one that's going to denigrate anything that I see. You know, I'm usually, if I don't like something, I can keep that to myself. It's not really something that I need to trumpet on the onto the internet or you know, the front page of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me ask you this. I had mentioned to you earlier off the air that we are from Vancouver, British Columbia. That's where our show is located. Now, I remember growing up as a kid, I used to come and see you wrestle locally here in Vancouver when you were on the independent circuit. You wrestled for ECCW. Do you remember that time, and do you have any good stories about Vancouver?
Not necessarily stories. I always had a good time working for Michelle Starr and the ECCW guys. I got a chance to work with some good guys like Scotty Mack and Tony Kazina. I always had, it was a good crew. They were basically trying to build something from the ground up for themselves there. And they always made me feel very welcome, and the locker rooms were very talented. So I had a very good time going up there. I understood too that once I couldn't keep coming up there just because of, it was sort of a cost to fly me from L.A. to Vancouver, and I was lucky to be able to come as often as I did. So,
Have you ever caught up with any of those guys in Vancouver? Have you ever gone back online and just looked at the current product today, or is it just kind of a good memory at this point?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to really catch up on the product. Every once in a while, I'll hear from Dave Republic or Michelle Starr. They'll touch base with me online or, through email. But, I don't really get a chance to watch a lot of independent wrestling, especially if it's not, like, readily available, like, on YouTube or something, So it's just tough. I've got a family, a wife and kids that don't necessarily watch wrestling with me, so it's not like I can commandeer their television time by watching a bunch of stuff on TV.
definitely understandable. One of our best products out of Vancouver is a tag team by the name of the Bollywood Boys, Harv and Gurv Sira. Now, they are really our closest connection with TNA today. As I'm sure you're aware, they did wrestle for an organization in India, Rinka King, which is, you know, it's run by TNA as far as I'm aware. Have you ever heard of them, and have you seen them, and what are your thoughts on them?
I haven't seen them, but I did hear about them, the guys that were part of Rinka King, that are part of the TNA product, guys like Magnus and Matt Morgan. You know, I had heard nothing but good things about the Bollywood Boys, and I'm glad that they got a chance to go over there. And, you know, it was a very successful venture, and I hope that it continues, you know, for those guys. I know that they were very happy with the first season, and I hope a second season comes around for everybody.
Well, I'm sure everyone in Vancouver is definitely just happy that Christopher Daniels has heard of the Bollywood Boys, because these guys really are rising stars, and they were involved with the Rinka King promotion. I wanted to ask you about Rinka King. First of all, as far as I know, you were never involved with Rinka King, which is a little surprising considering they are affiliated with TNA. But do you know anything about like what the current state of Rinka King is? Just what are they thinking about the whole project as a whole?
I couldn't tell you, man. The only involvement I had was talking to Jeff Jarrett about guys that might be available or something. But this is so far before they actually put the project together. And I was never approached to be an in-ring talent for them. So I couldn't comment one way or the other on what the future is for them. Just, you know, I hope it's positive. Like I said, I know that they were very happy with how the final result came out. But, you know, whether they continue to do a second season, it's, you know, your better bet is to ask Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we can ever get him on the show, we definitely will. Let me just switch gears, but I'm going to talk more TNA here in a second. I wanted to switch gears and just talk about something that is in the news right now. It was our top story tonight on our post-to-post report, and that is the International Olympic Committee's decision to possibly drop amateur wrestling from the 2020 Olympic Games. Obviously, this is huge news for the pro wrestling industry as well, because there is such that strong connection between the two. What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, I could probably predict the words that are about to come out of your mouth, but just how do you feel about the IOC's decision to drop amateur wrestling?
Well, I don't really have a very strong connection with amateur wrestling in sense. Like, I did it in high school, but I was never, you know, someone like Kurt Angle or AJ Styles or Shane Helms, guys that had a very strong amateur background before they got into pro. But I mean, I think it's sort of a silly decision and maybe a rash decision on the part of the Olympic Committee to decide to suspend wrestling as an Olympic sport. And I think it's going to be something that they reevaluate. I know right now that wrestling is still on for the 2016 games, and that the first time it wouldn't be an Olympic sport would be 2020. And I think between now and then, there's probably going to be a lot of discussion and a lot of debate between guys that have done the amateur wrestling, that have had great success, that are going to petition on wrestling's behalf to be, I guess, reinstated. I'm not even sure if it's been taken out specifically or if it's still in talks. Like, I'm not sure how far along the discussion is. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of the original sports, and for it to be sort of, I guess, devalued or taken out, demoted out of the Olympics in favor of other things like, you know, badminton or some of the other sports that were up for being taken out and didn't, it's sort of ludicrous. And I feel like it's going to – I don't think that it's going to stand. I think that as much support that you've seen over Twitter and over the Internet from guys like Kurt and Shane and a lot of other guys that have had backgrounds in amateur wrestling or still just – even if they didn't, like, just respect what amateur wrestling is, you know, and the idea that it would be taken out of the Olympics is like I said, it's a little bit ludicrous.
Is this a hot topic amongst the locker room guys already, or is it just too early to speculate on that?
It's a little bit early. I mean, it just happened in the last couple of days or, like, within the last week. So, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, I don't think anybody's in favor of it being taken out. I can't imagine anybody that I would know that would think it's a good decision. So I think we're all on the same page in that respect.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move back to TNA. Now, one of the reasons I had asked you to come on this show tonight, and thank you again, by the way, is because of this huge announcement that TNA has made recently, and that is they are taking the show, Impact Wrestling, out of the Impact Zone in Orlando and moving into stadiums and venues around North America. This is huge news for TNA. Great news for the fans. What do you make of this announcement?
Well, I just think it's another step forward for TNA. I mean, the last big step that we took was going live on Thursdays rather than taping every other week like we had been. And I think it improved our product, maybe not necessarily in the ratings, but definitely the energy of it backstage. And I think this is going to be another step that brings the energy up. As good as the Impact Zone was and the fans that were loyal to us for the last 7 or 8 years, the truth of the matter is after a while, I think that crew became a little desensitized to what we were doing. And I think to our benefit, like bringing it to a new crowd every other week, I think that it's going to benefit in the energy of our shows. It's going to look much more professional and much more energetic, when we go to different arenas around the United States. And I look forward to it. That same energy that I think we all felt when we were going live, I think we're going to get that feeling again, being in front of fresh crowds every week and performing in front of crowds that are hungry to watch us live.
Without getting into specifics, how does this affect the show and the roster behind the scenes in a sense that I'm assuming a lot of guys are going to have to travel a lot more, and I would think that maybe there might be a couple wrestlers who got involved with TNA because they didn't even want to travel as much as they nearly were at some point, or they don't want to travel at all, and that was kind of the attraction to TNA. Will this heavier travel schedule impact the roster in any way as far as you're concerned or as far as you would guess?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to affect it negatively. I mean, the truth of the matter is there's only a couple people that were on the roster that live in Orlando or nearby. And so this traveling, it's part of the game. I mean, we've all been on the schedule where we've traveled. The difference between me flying to Orlando and me flying to Chicago isn't that much different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big of a deal. And I think that truthfully, even the people that did only travel or were only, an hour's drive or so from Orlando, I mean, they still traveled for live events, for house shows. So, I mean, that amount of travel is just going to wash, I think.
Mm-hmm. I know it seems like a stupid question to ask. It really only can mean good things that TNA is going on the road. So let me move on. Let me ask you about this. TNA announcing their new pay-per-view structure where they're going to have 4 big pay-per-views a year, and then they're going to have these TNA one-night-only pay-per-views. Are you a fan of this new model?
Yeah, I think it's gonna help build the 4 pay-per-views that we decide to keep. We'll have time to sort of build them up or build them up more. I don't want to say that 4 weeks wasn't enough, but I mean, after a while, when we were in that schedule of every 4 weeks having a pay-per-view, sometimes things moved a lot quicker than they should have. And now that we're down to like a quarterly system, I'm not sure exactly what the dates are going to end up being for the ones that we've decided to keep as live pay-per-views. But, we're going to have an opportunity to really build them up and sort of put a lot of effort into each match and each storyline. So I think it's definitely going to improve the desire to see those shows and hopefully translate into more buys for us.
Okay, I have 3 very quick, tough questions for you. And these are the only 3 questions I'm going to put you on the spot. So answer them the best way you can. First one is kind of easy.
Okay.
It's just, what is the future of TNA? We got 2 major announcements here. Things are looking very bright. What would your prediction be for maybe where TNA is in 5 years?
Hopefully we're doing live television every week. I think that would be the next big step. The schedule at this point is to be in a building and take 2 weeks worth of television, do 1 live and 1 taped. Hopefully at some point, if we're successful at that, the next step is going to be doing it live every week. And I feel like that's hopefully it won't take long for us to get to that point. We were live for a little bit more than a year, or maybe even a little less than a year when we decided to go on the road. So hopefully we won't have that much longer before going every week, mm-hmm. every week live.
I want to ask you this, second of the 3 questions. What's the best business decision TNA has ever made in your time there?
I'd have to say the television show, like the getting with Spike and the evolution of going from Saturdays to Thursdays, from late night to prime time, from 1 hour to 2 hours, and then finally going from tape to live. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that time, I think it's just been time well spent. It's been money well spent on Spike's behalf. And, you know, it's given TNA a chance to grow. You know, we haven't always been super fast to take steps forward, but when we do, they've been positive steps. It's very rare that we take a misstep. And, you know, to our benefit, I feel like we've really grown as a roster and a product, and it's just, you know, more in store for us in the future.
Okay, let me ask you this. What would be one of the more regrettable decisions you've ever seen TNA make?
I don't know. There's not really been too many bad ones. I mean, we've been really fortunate. You know, I guess if you had to put me on the spot, I'd probably say going live that first time. Mm. Maybe it was a little bit too much too soon.
Okay.
But, I mean, as evidenced by the success of this current, you know, the fact that we're going live this time, probably the biggest mistake they ever made was firing me a couple of years ago. That was, you know, that wasn't a very good decision, and they took that back. So that was, you know, I have to say that was probably the one that they made up for.
Yeah. Okay, that's the worst of it, Chris. Thank you very much for answering that.
No worries.
you did well. Let me ask you this. For someone who isn't watching the TNA product on a regular basis, what are you up to these days in terms of Impact Wrestling? And, you know, who are you in a program with, and how's it going for yourself?
Well, currently myself and Frankie Kazarian, we make up the best tag team in the business. And, yeah, that was three syllables, but that's how many syllables you need to use when you're talking about the bad influence of TNA, myself and Frankie. We're two-time World Tag Team Champions of the World. That's not redundant because we're two planets worth of great. And we're on our way to getting the tag championships back. Right now it's Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, a fellow Canadian. I'm sure that you're on his side, but that's cool. I don't take personal offense to that. Right now they just recently won the tag titles over in England, but we're still in the hunt for them, and they haven't announced who they'll be defending the titles against at Lockdown, but I'm sure when you look at our record as being the best tag team, the one that really brought attention back to the tag team ranks here at TNA, that myself and Frankie Kazarian will be the number one contenders, and we'll be wrestling at Lockdown for those belts.
Christopher Daniels, you're a class act, my friend. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate
you.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Yeah, and good luck.
That's great to be me.
It
is. I don't need it, but thank you.
All right, well, that seems like a good way to end the interview.
Sure is. Maybe goodbye. That's a good way to end it.
All right, buddy. Take care. There you go, James. Christopher Daniels. What great insight from one of TNA's best.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm so pumped that we finally got to get somebody of his stature from TNA on our show. You know, it's a little bit of a nice change instead of talking about WWE all the time. But
you must be happy. We're finally talking TNA.
Finally. And will you finally start watching some of the product now?
I am making this pledge here tonight on the show. I will be watching more TNA wrestling from here on out.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I got to just find the time of my day. It's never been the show itself.
Hey.
I will say this, though. I'm not a huge fan that where I live, I don't get Spike TV in high def. So Impact Wrestling comes in on standard def. That's very annoying to
me. Yeah, I've got to admit, I've become quite the HD snob in the last half a year here myself. So I do understand where you're coming from there. But yeah, you know, we really should try to catch up more on the product. And once again, thanks a lot, Christopher Daniels, for coming on the show. It was great.
Absolutely. Let's switch gears. Yes. We have a huge pay-per-view to talk about this Sunday. They call it the Elimination Chamber. It's really the start of the road to WrestleMania.
That one last bump before the big monster known as.
God, you just want to get through it, don't you?
Almost, you know? You just got this feeling like, I mean, let's face it, it's got a pretty good looking card coming up this Sunday, but yeah, you just got this feeling like, let's just get this done and over with so we can figure out what's going on with WrestleMania here.
Well, hold that thought, James, until we get to the other side. Let's talk about the week it was in our Tale of the Tape.
Yeah. It's time for the Tale of the Tape. What you say is way too
complicated. So the Elimination Chamber, it happens February 17th, this Sunday, from New Orleans, Louisiana.
That's right, the reported site of WrestleMania 30.
I was just going to ask you, do you think they will announce this as the site for WrestleMania?
I think there's probably a good chance, but to be honest with you, I'm holding my breath for Vancouver.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
No kidding.
Here's an even bigger question.
What's that?
If WrestleMania 30 does happen from New Orleans, do the lights go out mid-show?
Yeah, no kidding, eh? That'll be, you know, it'll be the impromptu Undertaker appearance.
No kidding. Now, what are your thoughts on the Elimination Chamber this Sunday? James, are you excited for it? Are you looking forward to it?
This looks like a very solid card from top to bottom, starting with CM Punk taking on The Rock, all the way down to the YouTube pre-show match between Tensai and Brodus Clay taking on the newly reformed Road Scholars.
It's one of these shows that I just want to get over with because I just want to find
like
out
just talking about that,
what is happening with WrestleMania 29. I mean,
exactly.
We have no idea who is even facing who in any sort of way. There is
We've
just
got
no
strong indications, but
strong indications,
nothing
but
concrete.
And people are flying to this city to go check out this show. That's what boggles my mind, is that wrestling fans buy tickets to WrestleMania when really, less than 3 months to the show, they still don't even know who's going to be on the card.
Well, we'll have a lot of answers to our questions after this Sunday, that's for sure.
And that's what makes this show interesting. So, you heard off the top there, James. CM Punk giving the go-to-sleep to The Rock on Monday Night Raw. What do you think of this rematch heading into Sunday?
The rematch is pretty good. It doesn't really have the same big match feel as the Royal Rumble match did, but I mean, of course, come on, that's understandable, seeing as how, you know, you don't have CM Punk's 400-plus day reign on the line here in this one.
Well, let me just get this question out of the way right away. Who do you think takes it on Sunday?
Oh, I have no question. I think it's going to be The Rock for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I can't see CM Punk taking it, and I think this will probably be the end of their rivalry here going forward. I know you think that it's going to continue on to maybe be a triple threat at WrestleMania, but I mean, I don't see that being as big a match as a rematch between Rock and Cena.
And are you okay with CM Punk just moving on away from The Rock? He's just going to accept that The Rock has taken his championship belt and he's going to move on to someone new, like perhaps The Undertaker?
Well, I think it's all going to play down to, you know, what happens in the match this Sunday. I mean, there's still the strong rumor going around that CM Punk is going to have this match with The Undertaker. So who knows? Maybe we'll see The Undertaker make an appearance somehow. And
I'm sticking to my original theory that it will be a triple threat match at WrestleMania. I do believe it will be CM Punk versus The Rock.
I don't think so.
Versus John Cena. And I can't see CM Punk going quietly if The Rock takes it on Sunday. And that is another reason why I'm sticking with that original prediction. Okay. Let's ask this question here. There's a lot of variables for Sunday because we have a new stipulation that was added by Vince McMahon. The stipulation that if The Rock gets
crazy,
if he gets counted out or DQ'd, he does drop the title to CM Punk. First of all, why would Vince McMahon even do this?
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. When I watched that whole segment on Raw when Paul Heyman suggested the stipulation when he was with Vicky Guerrero on the phone there, the only explanation I could come up with at the moment is that Paul Heyman said that he would do anything to have this stipulation added to the match. And I don't know, maybe Vince McMahon will come back, and since Paul Heyman said he'd do anything, maybe we'll have a new inductee into the Kiss My Ass Club. I don't know.
This is the guy that Vince McMahon this is the guy that Vince McMahon was one word away from firing, and all of a sudden he's giving him what he wants over the phone? Like, that makes no sense to me.
Well, let's talk about that phone call. I mean, that whole call was very, I don't know, I found it kind of fishy. I mean, he called right at the exact moment.
Sloppy writing. That's all you got to say about that.
You think it was sloppy writing?
Of course.
Or you don't?
I mean, the fact that there was a dial tone after an iPhone call. I mean, come on. It's just a poor, poor segment.
Well,
they needed a way to get this stipulation out there. Now, the bigger question is why did they need this stipulation? Why do you need to add the idea that if The Rock gets counted out or DQ'd, he would drop the title to CM Punk?
Well, because they got
to
make the match different than their Royal Rumble match. It can't just be another standard singles match going into this pay-per-view because The Rock already has gone over it. So why would you?
Do you think it's painfully obvious that The Rock is going to win this Sunday?
Like, oh, I think so.
Like, that would be my theory, that they need the fans to think that CM Punk actually could take the title here. And I'm going to be honest, I think CM Punk could take the title.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to have The Rock come back, put all this promotion behind him, put the title on him, only to have him drop it a month later. I do not see that happening.
So you really think that CM Punk is going to go quietly here after Sunday's over?
He's not going to go quietly, but something is going to happen that will transition him into his eventual program heading into WrestleMania. Who knows? Maybe we'll see some sort of interference, like I said, by The Undertaker. Maybe John Cena will interfere. Maybe John Cena interferes, attacks The Rock, gets CM Punk disqualified or whatever.
What about Paul Heyman? He's had a very serious amount of television time in the last couple weeks. He's been a prominent character on Monday Night Raw. He's
quite a central character. And maybe, that's probably in part that he's such a dynamic character and his performances are so strong on Monday nights. And I think another part of it is they're really, they've kind of got almost two programs going with Paul Heyman here at the same time. You got what's going on with CM Punk, and now you've got the added dynamic of this angle with Brock Lesnar having just, attacked Vince McMahon and then The Miz and everything. So,
what do you make of that opening segment on Raw on Monday where you had Paul Heyman coming out and possibly quitting? Is that just a classic heel technique, or is there an actual possibility that he's getting off television?
Personally, I think Jerry Lawler at the end of that segment hit the nail right on the head there, where he says it was Paul Heyman trying to upstage the Pope, and I think maybe that was kind of like a little jab at the Pope deciding to step down from his position there.
No, that's actually that's probably true, actually. I never really thought about that.
That was just the initial thought that came to my head when I saw it.
There's just so many variables for this match. There's so many outside people. I mean, we haven't even got to Brad Maddox. He's involved with Paul Heyman, and he's been on television as of late. There's this possibility that he could be involved on Sunday.
You're right. There is the possibility Maddox could get involved. I think more he's going to get involved in the six-man tag with the Shield, but you're right. There is an outside possibility we could see Brad Maddox get involved in this somehow.
So you're sticking with your, after our conversation, you're sticking with The Rock.
I got to stick with The Rock. Somehow, some way, The Rock's going to win. I don't know if it'll be completely clean or if it'll be a muddy finish or whatever, but I really don't see them taking the strap off The Rock, especially with all the promotion leading into WrestleMania that The Rock can do with the title, right?
Okay, now, if The Rock is going to walk away from CM Punk here, I mean, you would naturally think that he's going to step right into a program creating The Rock versus John Cena 2. That is what everyone is predicting as the headliner for WrestleMania 29. You would think it has to start this Sunday.
Oh, it has to somehow.
Really? I'm just trying to figure out where that even comes into the mix.
Well, like I just mentioned, maybe John Cena could get involved in the match. Now that there's this stipulation with the DQs and the countouts, like I said, maybe John Cena comes out and attacks The Rock and gets CM Punk disqualified.
What's more likely here? The Undertaker coming out to cost Punk the match, or Cena coming out to cost The Rock the match?
Oh, Cena wouldn't come out to cost Rock the match.
You don't think so?
He'd come out to cost CM Punk the match.
That's right.
He's going to want to face The Rock. He's going to want that rematch with The Rock at WrestleMania over CM Punk, right?
So he's almost going to do The Rock a favor here.
Almost. And the way
seems so weird.
But you know what? The way they could explain it in the storyline wise too is, you know how The Rock cost Cena the match in the main event of WrestleMania 27? Well, maybe this is, I don't know. Actually, that doesn't make any sense now that I think about it. But, but I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with like a logical explanation as to how we can put this all together.
No, I know. And that's the beauty of this, right? I mean, you don't know.
No, you don't.
But I mean, to me, that's also a little frustrating. As a paying customer that is heading to New York for WrestleMania, I am a little frustrated. Jesus. Okay, get over it. I'm a little frustrated that I don't know one single match on the show yet. That being said, I mean, obviously, there's going to be some questions answered on Sunday, right? It's just like, I'm being a little impatient.
It's just like every single year. I mean, last year really was an anomaly when we had the John Cena Rock thing that we knew going into WrestleMania was going to happen. They don't do that every year.
No, I enjoyed that.
I do too. Yeah. I think the long-term booking like that was a great thing. I mean, obviously they couldn't do it again this year, but but yeah, definitely I got to go with The Rock. I really can't see CM Punk walking away with the title.
Okay. I think for my prediction, I'm going to go with The Rock as well, but I wouldn't be surprised to see CM Punk win the title and then have The Rock chase it up until WrestleMania. I don't think that's going to happen, but there is that possibility. So no, I'm sticking with The Rock.
I really think you're going to see Rock walk into WrestleMania with the strap on his shoulder.
Let's stick with John Cena. We had talked about him briefly there. He is involved in a completely separate program, which is just the other thing. It's like, you're telling me that you're just going to wrap up this next program on Sunday and have John Cena switch gears to focus on The Rock or whoever it may be. I mean, it just seems very... It's like these programs that are happening on TV right now are so intense that you can't help but think that they're going to continue to WrestleMania, because it almost seems wrong to just shut them down mid...
No, I hear what you're
like
saying.
They're like at their peak, you know what I mean? They're hitting their peak, and then you're going to shut them down all because you had a plan for WrestleMania. So that's kind of what I'm feeling about this next topic, and that's the fact that John Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback are taking on The Shield. Now, we had a little warm-up, I guess you could say, on Monday as to what could happen at the Elimination Chamber this Sunday.
Again, The Shield in the house here live on Raw. Heath Slater and now McIntyre. And now all six men fill the ring. A melee here tonight. Live on Raw. Cena. Oh, look at this. You know this is going to happen at Elimination Chamber. I hope we have the same results. All in unison. Here we go. Show shot. AA. And white noise. Sheamus, Cena, Ryback. Rolling.
A lot of people here thought that they would have announced that this would be an Elimination Chamber match this Sunday, because you do have 3-on-3.
Or some kind of War Games-esque style chamber match. I don't know how hard it is to make modifications to the chamber. But again, on the other hand, I can understand why they won't
explain to me a chamber match. Explain to me what you mean by a War Games chamber match.
War Games chamber match is where you like... Don't you remember how they did War Games?
No, I don't. I'm asking you to explain for the people who don't.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, War Games was like you start off with one guy and then you start off with another guy. And eventually, you know, you let in one guy from one team at a certain point and then you let in another guy from another team. So at one point it becomes 2-on-1, then 2-on-2. So the kind of the numbers game kind of changes at the point.
So you were talking about a modified Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah, kind of like a modified Elimination Chamber match, yes.
Do you think there's a possibility still that we could see this match transitioned into a chamber match what you're talking about?
I don't think so, because I don't think they want to see... Like, I mean, let's face it, these are six of their top guys, and I don't think they really want to see five of them get eliminated type thing, right?
So The Shield cut a pretty good promo on Raw.
It was okay.
I liked it.
It was a little long-winded.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm not sold on Roman Reigns' mic skills, that's for sure.
Well, I enjoyed what they had to say. I mean, they're talking about John Cena being the problem with wrestling.
Pretty much what
I've been talking about on the show since I started.
I'm not saying I don't agree with what they were saying. I just think it could have been a little bit more succinct. You know, it just wasn't...
Yeah, but here you have three guys who really have good heat right now, and they're going up against John Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback.
Three top baby faces in the company.
This match looks completely predictable. I mean,
looks very one-sided.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it seems obvious who's going to win this Sunday. I mean, we got a precursor on Monday Night Raw with like what we had just played with 3MB falling victim to all three of the finishers from Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback. Is this a match that you're looking forward to with them taking on The Shield?
I am actually looking forward to this match, because I'm interested to see what the ramifications of the finish of this match will be, or the end result of what this match will be. I'm kind of the opinion that The Shield is going to walk out of Louisiana with the victory this Sunday, just because the babyfaces have gotten the upper hand the last 2 weeks on Raw. And if you follow the old school booking techniques, I mean, you look bad on TV, you win pay-per-view type thing.
Fair enough. But you're telling me you're going to have John Cena lose this match and then go into the main event program at WrestleMania?
No, let me clarify. I don't think John Cena is going to lose this match in the sense where he will take the pinfall. I personally think maybe... I don't think Ryback's going to take it either. If anybody's going to get pinned, I think it's going to be Sheamus. And I think we're going to see interference from Brad Maddox. I think Brad Maddox is going to play quite a factor into the result, because he's got quite a beef with The Shield, let's face it. So I think somehow Brad Maddox is going to get involved in the match. He's going to try to help the babyfaces win, but he's going to inadvertently cause some kind of distraction, and maybe Sheamus will get pinned out of the blue type thing. So it'll still make Ryback, still make John Cena look strong. Or maybe even, you know, they'll have a DQ. They'll just throw it out and it'll be like a throwaway DQ, right?
That way everybody
goes away looking strong.
Let me ask you this. If The Shield doesn't win this match, which you're saying probably won't happen, but if they didn't win this match, would it derail their momentum at all?
I think so. At this point, this is The Shield's, like, this is their second match.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have them lose now, it's, I don't know, you almost, it's reminiscent to kind of the way Brock Lesnar lost his momentum after he lost his first match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a comparison here. I think, yeah, it would be kind of, it would be hurtful to their momentum if they lost this match. I mean, it's only their second match, let's face it. And you want to keep these guys looking strong going forward. They're a powerful heel stable, you know, and they're not cowardly, which is another thing that I really like about the Shield. They're not like your typical heels where they'll run away at the first sign of danger. They'll actually stand up for themselves and fight, and I like that about them.
Let's look down the road here a little bit after Sunday. I mean, you have the Shield heading into WrestleMania. Now, these are three brand new guys to the scene. A lot of people could argue that maybe they don't get the spotlight at WrestleMania like the deserved candidates typically do, if that really makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, they're in their first year on TV, right? So do you really get a shot at WrestleMania at that time? I mean, they have made quite the impact on Monday Night Raw. If they do get a shot at WrestleMania, where do you see them slotting themselves on the show here?
I think they'll be mid to upper card.
And who would they be taking? Like, who would they be facing, I should say?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You know, do you break them up and have them face guys in singles matches? Or do you have another, like, six-man tag, but this time it's got a stipulation? Maybe because John Cena will be moving forward for his championship match. Maybe you have, like, Sheamus and Ryback, and maybe, I don't know, Randy Orton, because Randy Orton's got beef with the Shield. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's where you'll see Randy Orton's heel turn will be at, like, WrestleMania. Maybe he turns on Sheamus and Ryback at WrestleMania and then becomes a heel. I don't know, I'm just...
It's very interesting, and one thing I'm noticing here is that there's a lot of guys to slot in for WrestleMania.
It just seems like the
lineup's going to be... Like, it's going to be a huge card because there's just so many guys that you should have on WrestleMania this year.
Well, they've got to have some kind of match that's like a Money in the Bank match, or like the match like we had last year between Laurinaitis and
like a Battle Royal
or something, you know, something like that, where you got to throw all this talent that really doesn't have a spot yet, you know?
Let's talk about the one confirmed Elimination Chamber match this Sunday, and that is for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, it's for the number one contendership.
That's right.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Now, this is Randy Orton, Chris Jericho, Mark Henry, Jack Swagger, Daniel Bryan, and Kane, who earned a spot on Monday's Raw. This is a six-man Elimination Chamber match. Very interesting, because these are all six guys that really could walk away with this number one contendership.
I wouldn't say that.
Really?
Yeah, there's three guys I can name right now that I don't see even having a sniff.
Oh, I disagree. But regardless, here is one guy who definitely could walk away with it on Sunday.
Well, the great Khali flattened by that world's strongest slam. What's frightening about this is Mark Henry is going to be in the chamber match Sunday. He's going to be locked inside that chamber with five other superstars. Imagine the damage Henry can do inside the Elimination Chamber. Well, yeah, he'll come out probably anytime he wants to. This is probably the only man in the WWE that can burst out of that Elimination Chamber with the strength that he has. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Now, come on, Mark. Mark Henry back in the ring, and look out. Get out of there. Oh, my God, no. Mark Henry stalking Hornswoggle.
Get out!
Turn around! Oh no! Come on, No! World's strongest slam, nearly breaking Hornswoggle in half.
Poor Hornswoggle, eh?
If you listen closely, actually, you can hear the crowd chanting, "Do it again, do it again," after Hornswoggle gets smashed. But first of all, I just want to say, I really like how Mark Henry has come back and just gone on a swath of destruction, kind of picking up where he left off when he got injured last year. I'm really glad that they've booked him strong and they didn't bring him back as this stupid dancing babyface or something.
He just brings this intimidating presence to wrestling. So good to have him back.
And like we've said before, that shot when he comes out and they just do that, you know, from behind shot where they get the huge back. Yeah. Just great. Just such a great visual.
Now, there are six guys in this chamber match. You had mentioned three of them have a legitimate chance. Three of them don't.
Yes.
Can you clarify?
Okay, well, the three that I am going to say here that I don't think have a sniff is going to be Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Randy Orton. Randy Orton, actually, a lot of people are picking him to win this match, but I'm actually going to say that I could really see him maybe being the first one eliminated.
Wow, why is that?
Just because it'll add to his frustrations and it'll give a little bit more logic to his eventual heel turn.
So where do you see Randy Orton heading after Sunday?
Well, who knows? Maybe he gets involved with Sheamus and Ryback and they continue feuding with With the Shield. I don't know. It, like I said, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered.
So you're thinking Jericho, Mark Henry, and Jack Swagger.
Jericho, Mark Henry, and Jack Swagger are the three that have the strongest, most legitimate chances. And really, I would break this down to two. For me personally, I think it's going to come down to either Chris Jericho or Jack Swagger winning this match.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If Chris Jericho wins this match, I think Dolph Ziggler is going to cash in his Money in the Briefcase. Money in the Bank briefcase. In the Del Rio Big Show match, and that'll set up a Jericho-Dolph Ziggler match for the title going into WrestleMania. And if Jack Swagger wins, then I see Del Rio retaining his belt and Ziggler won't cash in his briefcase, and that'll set up the Jack Swagger-Del Rio feud going into WrestleMania, which I think would be a good feud now that Swagger's kind of become this borderline racist now with his new manager, Zeb Coulter, which is a very good idea by WWE, giving this guy a mouthpiece.
Very interesting decision, though. I mean, in a PG era, to have a guy come out and talk about what's right and wrong with the United States of America.
Well, they're kind of starting to go more PG-13, I've been noticing. Yeah, there's been a little bit more... You know, a little bit more risque things now.
What about Zeb Coulter? Do you like what you saw with him on Monday?
I do. I've always been a fan of Dirty Dutch Mantel.
Very interesting to bring him back. It is. I thought he was very good.
He was, actually. You know, and like I just said, it's good to give Jack Swagger somebody who can talk for
him. He's very good on the mic.
Because that's what he really needs. I mean, honestly, I don't know about you, but what are you feeling about Jack Swagger's kind of reemergence?
It's okay. Jack Swagger, I mean, they just... When his title reign ended so early after WrestleMania 26,
they lost complete faith in him.
That's what I'm saying, and I can still see that with them. I disagree.
I see them pushing Jack Swagger quite far here.
I don't.
You don't?
So.
Really?
No. Not yet. Not yet, anyways.
I like his new look. I think if he grows his hair a little bit more longer, like has the shoulder length, scraggly looking hair, and has the bigger, you know, bushier beard and really has that kind of ragged, redneck type look to him. I think that's great. And having somebody like Zeb with him, great idea.
I personally think this Sunday, Mark Henry is walking out with the world championship.
Mark Henry, eh?
That's my pick. He's just so good. How can you not go with
him? I totally agree with you. I mean, everybody who's in this, he's definitely gone in the strongest. He's just...
And a chamber match is perfect for a man of his size. I mean, really, the guy should be unstoppable in this chamber match. I mean... You could obviously argue that it might be the quick, the hero victory after somehow Mark Henry gets tied up in the ropes.
Possibly.
You don't know the finish.
You don't know.
I think it could be the complete underdog comes back and takes Mark Henry for the victory. Right?
Exactly. That could happen. I personally think Henry, he's going to end up with the most eliminations. I think you'll see him. I think you'll see him pin about three guys.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, whatever happened to Rey Mysterio here? He was involved with this chamber match.
Well, apparently he got quote-unquote injured from Mark Henry on Monday Night Raw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, interesting.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I think they're really starting to lose faith in Mysterio, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get released soon.
Yeah, well, not released, but to me it's almost getting to the point where even his returns aren't meaning as much. I mean, if you think about it, he returned at the Royal Rumble, and so did Chris Jericho.
He's nowhere near his 2005-2006 stature, that's for sure.
I would think they would keep him in a behind the scenes role, in management or road agent or training new guys.
Yeah, helping new talent or something, right?
I still would love to see a Mysterio versus Sin Cara match at WrestleMania. I think that passing of the torch type match, Mysterio versus Del Rio, one of these matches where the Mexican audience can really get involved needs to happen at WrestleMania.
No, I totally agree with you.
Whether it happens this year or not, I don't know.
I really don't see it happening this year. Not with the condition that Ray Ray's been in lately.
Let's quickly touch on the other matches that are happening this Sunday at the Elimination Chamber. The Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship. Have you enjoyed this program so far?
It's been your very old school program build-up. It's like 1 week, one guy gets, beats the guy up, and then the next week, the other guy beats the other guy up. It was kind of interesting what they've done recently here with... Big Show getting the paint dumped on him and stuff, but no, I don't mind it. It's
I find it very interesting that Del Rio is supposed to be a babyface, yet he's kind of doing these heel tactics, like taking the tires off Big Show's tour bus, pouring paint on him, like you had mentioned, showing up at his hotel room. He ultimately got suspended by Booker T. It's just a very interesting babyface scenario. Would you agree?
I think they're trying to make him. I don't know, maybe they're trying to make him like that...
Edgy, I guess?
Yeah, the edgy, maybe the kind of, not necessarily a tweener, but almost like that Stone Cold-esque type of, the baby face that acts like a heel, the heel that you cheer for, essentially, right?
He's looking very good right now. I'm going to give Del Rio credit, but at the same time, I'm giving Big Show credit. These two are both very good right now. So.
And these kind of old school program builds are perfectly suited for the Big Show. I mean, that's the best way, I think, to utilize him.
And perfectly utilized on SmackDown as well. Yes. This is great SmackDown content.
Absolutely.
So what about Ricardo Rodriguez? Will he play a role in this?
Yeah,
Sunday?
That's going to be interesting. Will we see Del Rio actually take the victory without the help of Ricardo Rodriguez? Will he play as big a role? You know what? I really don't think so. I think we're going to see Del Rio win the match. But again, the big question is will we see Ziggler cash in his money in the bank?
I was just
going to
say, is that your prediction for this Sunday?
Well, it kind of makes me feel like it because this match, you know, they're not having a chamber match for the title belt. They're having just a regular one-on-one match. So that kind of says to me that, you know, maybe, we'll see Ziggler run in and maybe use his briefcase and cash it in here before WrestleMania. I don't know. They've got a ton of different options they can do. But regardless, I'm going with Alberto Del Rio with this one.
Okay. I'm going to do the same. We have a lot of similar opinions on this one. But
it's a good card. Yeah. Predictable, but it's still a good card.
How about The Miz versus Antonio Cesaro for the United States Championship? Will The Miz pick up the win and get his revenge on Antonio? Or does this just bury The Miz already, more than they've already buried him in the last couple weeks?
You know what? The thing with The Miz is a loss to Antonio Cesaro here on Sunday, it's not going to hurt him. They're already giving him tons of TV time, tons of exposure. He's got this Miz TV thing that's going on. And what I think is going to happen is I think you're going to see Cesaro take the victory here on Sunday, but this feud's going to continue into WrestleMania, and that's finally where The Miz will pick up the victory for the belt and give him that kind of moment in the spotlight at WrestleMania, you know?
We got to talk about Tamina Snuka versus Caitlyn for the Divas Championship. I mean, I didn't even know this match was happening. That's how neglected the Divas division is these days.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what? What can you say about this? I can't.
Not much.
No, you're not really. I can't see Caitlyn dropping the belt. But rumor is that the WWE officials are very high on Tamina Snuka's recent work, and they kind of want to push her to be like the face of the WWE Divas division.
I guess.
So who knows? Maybe Tamina takes it.
YouTube pre-show, the Rhodes Scholars taking on Brodus Clay and Tensai, kind of a new tag team that has sort of appeared in front of our eyes.
This just screams to me that they have no freaking clue what they're going to do with Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes. I mean, I don't know. These guys are in, like, booking purgatory. I mean, they're losing. They're losing week after week, you know? I don't know. And Brodus Clay and Tensai, again, it's just, you know, two big guys they don't know what to do with. So let's put them together and make them a comedy act and have them dance together. I don't know.
I'm guessing Cody Rhodes won't be facing Goldust at WrestleMania, just based off the fact that you would think that they would want to go with a Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow breakup before that happens.
Well, I don't know. They went with an amicable breakup instead of the friction angle. But I don't know why they've shelved the whole Cody Rhodes taking on his brother Goldust. That would be such an intense and such a cool program.
I know. I'd love to see
heading
that
into WrestleMania. That's a total WrestleMania.
It's a great opening match.
Absolutely. And that's a total WrestleMania worthy match.
And what do you make of Tensai? I mean, he's teaming with Brodus Clay to take on the Rhodes Scholars. Tensai, he's definitely done a 180, has he not?
Goes from IWGP Tag Champion to dancing in lingerie on Monday Night
Raw. You don't like what they've done with him?
Well, I gotta admit, he is getting over more as this dancing babyface. But I mean, if you're gonna make him a dancing babyface like that, why not just bring him back? Why would you bring him back as this Japanese Tensai character? Why not just bring him back as, you know, Albert the Hip Hop Hippo or whatever the hell he was before?
The serious gimmick of being the white Asian, I guess you can call it. It didn't last very long.
No,
I mean, it's
not
he's,
at all.
He's gone from being extremely serious to, you know, he's now working with Santino. In fact, he'll be working with Santino very soon. I can almost guarantee it.
No kidding.
I like the size of this tag team, Brodus Clay and Tensai.
Yeah, they're two big boys, that's for sure. But again, like I just said, this just screams of, you know, we don't know what we're going to do with these guys, so let's just throw them together and have them be a comedy act. That seems to be the formula for what WWE does when they have a big guy that they don't know what to do with. Let's just throw him out there and be a comedy act. Yeah. So.
Anything else you want to touch on with the Elimination Chamber?
Not really, but I think it's going to be a good show. It's one I'm going to purchase, definitely.
Really? You're watching it for sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not bad.
Hey, come on, you got to admit, it is a very solid-looking card. Again, I think it's you know, it's rather predictable, but who knows? They could throw us some swerves, throw us some curveballs because it is so predictable, right?
It's interesting. They went the predictable route at the Royal Rumble, you got to think they're going to continue that trend at the Elimination Chamber. But a lot of these matches, I think in my head, I know the answer to already. It's just a matter of, really, the question is what is the WrestleMania card? And we need these matches to set that up. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. ASAP.
All right.
So I guess that'll wrap up Tale of the Tape.
We'll have a lot more to talk about next week after we find out these directions that these guys are going.
Absolutely.
Right? You got to think The Undertaker's showing up Sunday, if not Monday, the next night on Raw.
He's got to show up at some point, unless he's for sure not doing the show. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Which has got to be why he was in Nashville this week.
Speaking of that, I really like the tease they had when the lights went out when the Shield was in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an Undertaker tease there. Now, Corey, we're not doing any local wrestling scene this weekend, unfortunately. But ECCW does have a show coming out tomorrow night. This is happening in Surrey. This is their My Bloody Valentine show. It's happening in Surrey at the Sullivan Hall. For those of you in Vancouver, the address is 6306 152nd Street. The doors open at 7:30 p.m. Bell time is at 8 p.m. Main event, Cremator Von Slasher, the ECCW champion. We just had him on the show 2 weeks ago. He's going to be giving his buddy, Moondog Manson, a shot at his title belt. That's going to be one not to miss. Also featured, Sid Sylum taking on Jamie Diaz. We got Bishop taking on your favorite, Azeem the Dream. And also, Scotty Mack takes on Dastardly Danny Deeds. Should be a good one tomorrow at Sullivan Hall in Surrey. If you want any more information, you can always check out their website, www.eccw.com.
It's hard to take you seriously when this song is playing in the background.
I love this song. What do you mean? You don't like Zack Ryder's number one platinum hit?
The big question, will you be playing this song. Will you be playing this for your girlfriend tonight for Valentine's
Yes,
Day?
This is the song that
we'll play in the background.
This is the song that we'll be playing as we get funky. Yes.
Oh my god. All right, that'll wrap it up. Thank god. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. We're on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher, as we announced earlier tonight. Go check that out. Download their app. We have to play Hosky Zack Ryder. I couldn't help but notice here, James, that they've redone the song for iTunes. How much better is it?
Sounds a lot better.
The song actually was quite good when it was redone.
That's right.
Go on YouTube and check out the new and improved edition of Hosky.
Zack Ryder's Hosky.
We wanted to play the old one.
Now, don't forget, if you all want to tell Corey how much of a Hosky he is, we've also got our email on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. You can tell us what you thought about Monday Night Raw, what you thought about the Elimination Chamber, what you think about the Elimination Chamber, just what you think about professional wrestling in general. Send us those emails, people. There could be some cool swag coming your way.
And next week, we'll be officially on the road to WrestleMania. Smack Talk Radio Live returns then, I guess, next Thursday, James? What do you think?
Next Thursday sounds good to me, buddy.
All right, buddy. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I am James McDonald.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening.
You are a hostie. You are a hosty. So you think you're so cool for breaking my heart not once but twice? Are you serious, bro? Will I get over you one day? Woo.